It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We keep hearing how the economy is improving. So why are a majority of Americans saying they are frequently anxious about their financial situation? The fact is, there is still discontent among many Americans about their personal economic situation. As the wealth gap increases and wages remain stagnant, the NPR show Marketplace, in conjunction with Edison Research, launched the Economic Anxiety Index earlier this year. The poll is designed to identify how Americans are really experiencing the economy. How do people feel about the economy? Marketplace reporter Noel King explored this issue in a conversation during the launch of the index.
Why are so many American workers feeling stuck? Here's one possibility. Stephanie Thomas is a program director at Cornell's Institute for Compensation Studies.
Pay raises aren't what they used to be. Pay raises in 2015 and really for the last few years have been relatively flat.
About half of workers in the Marketplace Edison research poll said they had received a raise in the last year, but how much of a raise? The new norm for pay raises is around 3% a year or less. It was not always this way. Sandra McClellan is with Towers Watson, a global consulting firm.
In the 80s and 90s, there were years of double-digit increases to salaries and then a recession and sort of a systematic decrease in pay increases over that time.
She says in the present day, companies are now moving toward variable raises. If you're perceived as more valuable than your colleagues, you get a bigger raise while they get less. Here's one stuck American worker who kind of wishes his job would do that, Jody Yurden.
I hate to say this about myself, but I'm kind of a yes man. Does this need to be done? Okay, I'll do it. Does that need to be done? I'll do it.
He is 34 and has been a part-time mail carrier for the U.S. Postal Service in upstate New York for 11 years. He loves his job, despite a few dangers.
I'm not the biggest fan of dogs. I got bit on the rear end last Christmas time delivering a package. I haven't run so fast since.
He got a raise of about 5% last fall, his first pay bump in a couple of years, and it wasn't based on performance.
It is all contractual. I could be working harder than the person in the cubicle next to me, and they would get the same raise that I got.
He really likes the idea of pay based on merit. Since it's not an option, Yurden knows exactly when he'll feel unstuck, when he finally gets an opportunity to move into a full-time job with the Postal Service. He's been waiting for years.
And that is Noel King with Marketplace reporting. Joining us on the line from Washington is Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief Dave Shaw. Dave Shaw, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Dave Shaw, what led Marketplace to partner with Edison Research to launch the Economic Anxiety Index?
Well, something that we talk about every day and every month on our show is the big picture, the macro economy. We're awash in numbers that describe how we're doing. So, you know, if you look at the recovery from the recession that happened a number of years back, you know, things look on paper like things are going really well. You know, the unemployment rate has fallen. It's about 5.1%. Weekly jobless claims continue to go down. The housing market has picked back up. All of these macroeconomic indicators show that things are going really well. But when we go out and we talk to individuals who are trying to get by in the economy, we often get a very different picture. And so one of the reasons for that is that wage growth has been really stagnant. There have not been the increases in hourly pay, take-home pay, or, you know, salaries, whatever it is, that would often come with an economic recovery. And you're also seeing that play out in the idea of the wealth gap and the income gap between the very wealthy and everybody else. And so what we wanted to do as a way to organize our coverage around the 2016 election and to help describe the economic situation in America was to ask Americans how they were feeling. So, you know, unlike a lot of polls that are out there, which are about the horse race and about who's up and who's down and about the big picture, what we wanted to do was ask people about their individual pictures of how the economy feels to them.
So what methodology is being used here?
So we partnered with Edison Research, which is a company that's based in New Jersey. They're probably best known for doing the exit polling that a lot of news organizations rely on election day. And so what we did is it's a slightly more than 1,000 person sample. We're asking adults. So, you know, there's a subset in here of registered voters, but this is a poll of Americans more broadly than that. And, you know, we went with their guidance on how to conduct this. So this is a mix of landline and cell phones. There are some online respondents, and you know, we we put this all together and we come up with the broad picture of how people are feeling, which, you know, if I had to sum it up, it's people are feeling very anxious. There's a lot of insecurity and there's a lot of worry that is happening in people's financial situations. So, you know, almost two-thirds of people said that they were sometimes or frequently anxious about their financial situation. More than two out of every five said that they felt stuck in their current financial situation. And more than one out of four, 28%, said they were losing sleep over their finances, which is a really telling number. You know, when you look at where the economy is, that, you know, out of every four people, one of them is up at night worrying about money. That's a really telling figure.
And you mentioned that people are feeling stuck in their current financial situation. 42% of respondents say that. Why are people feeling stuck?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons that go into it. And you know, as my colleague Noel King reported here at the beginning of your show, a big reason for that is, you know, how the money that's going around in the economy shows up in your paycheck. You know, wages have not increased in any sort of sizable or substantial way since the recession. And real earning power for Americans adjusted for inflation has been pretty flat for quite a while now, decades. And so those two things together, combined with the sort of the bigger changes in the economy, mean that people don't necessarily feel they have the tools that they need to get ahead. And I think that's sort of the driver of this anxiety, a lot of this anxiety that you're seeing that's borne out in the poll.
Dave, I have to tell you that a lot of this just makes me want to say, well, duh. You know, isn't this all highlighting what we already know? I mean, that there is this disconnect between the haves and the have-nots. And I know that it's kind of a tired approach to keep talking about the 1% and the 99%, but there are people who are doing very well in business who don't seem to want to share that success with their employees. And so they're holding wages down. They're asking, you know, instead of providing benefit packages, old-fashioned benefit packages with a real pension as opposed to a 401k type thing, or medical benefits that employees don't have to pay for, they are passing a lot of costs on to their employees and saying, we really can't give you the kind of wage that you want or the kind of raise that you want.
Paul, I'm thrilled to be able to tell you that the results go beyond duh. what we did is we took the answers to about a dozen of the questions in the poll, and we put them together in what we're calling the Economic Anxiety Index. And so what's useful about this is that it allows us a way to track the mood about the economy over time. We're going to do this poll a number of times between now and the 2016 election, and hopefully beyond that as well. But there's another piece to it, which is this anxiety index allows us to compare subgroups and to see the divisions that are sort of hiding in plain sight in the American economy. So something, we spend a lot of time talking about the divisions between Democrats and Republicans, the 99% and the 1%, makers and takers. These are all sort of common descriptions of the divisions. But there are other sort of really telling divisions about how people are feeling anxiety. So hourly workers are feeling much more anxious than salary workers. People who rent as opposed to have mortgages are much more worried about making their monthly expenses. And so this is a useful way for Marketplace to be able to guide its coverage as we talk about the issues that are behind the 2016 election campaign, to be thinking about, you know, how the economy feels to real people and the differences among all of the different groups of Americans that there are.
You said something, you pointed out something that's very important with regard to the research that you're doing, and I refer to the 99%. In that gap between the 1% and all the rest, there are the telling divisions that you mentioned. What can you tell us about that and what these divisions are exactly?
Well, you know, what we're really focusing on and trying to describe with this poll and our reporting around the poll and around the election is the fear that people have about being able to meet the expenses that they have and to save for things and build the kind of future that they want to have. So, you know, the questions that we're asking on this score are, you know, to what degree are you worried about making your rent, paying your mortgage, making your car payment? Are you stressed out about how much you owe in student loans? And I think what you're seeing is the divisions, especially with the income gap, is, you know, folks who are earning $100,000 or more are much more likely to say, yeah, I got a raise in the past year and I expect to get one next year. And as you work down the income spectrum, that becomes a lot less likely. The folks who are making a lot of money are seeing raises and feel the security. And the folks who are making less are just, they are not seeing, they don't have that same confidence in the path ahead.
And there's that big division between salaried workers and hourly workers.
Yeah, hourly workers are much more likely to feel stuck. They're much more likely to be losing sleep. And, you know, maybe this does stand to reason, right? If you're not sure what your paycheck is going to look like next week or next month, that obviously introduces a lot of stress into your personal economic situation.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Dave Shaw. He is the Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief about the research that Marketplace has teamed up with Edison Research on, talking about the anxiety that Americans feel about their financial situations in spite of the fact that signs indicate that the economy has been improving. We've certainly been hearing that. Some of what these people are saying is, why am I not feeling that in my pocketbook? You know, one of the questions that comes to mind here is with regard to the mindset of the captains of industry in this country. Have we gone back to this, 19th century, early 20th century mentality? In baseball years ago, the owners were accused of collusion, of holding salaries down. And even if it isn't overt, outwardly spoken collusion, is there some sort of shorthand that's occurring as one industry or one company looks at another company and says they're doing more with less, they're paying out less, they are sending jobs offshore, that there's this effort to one up each other in terms of creating a profit margin at the expense of the American worker?
Well, I mean, I certainly wouldn't go as far to say that there's collusion. I mean, when you talk about baseball, right, that's a regulated monopoly, which, you don't really have. So it's not an exact, comparison that you can make. I think what you're getting at, and this sort of came up in a little bit of what we were talking about before, is, companies that are publicly traded put a lot of emphasis on their quarterly performance. Every 3 months, they need to go and tell their shareholders how well they did or how poorly they did. And there is tremendous pressure from investors. And so investors, that's everybody from activist investors that you always hear about, people like Carl Icahn, who take huge stakes in companies and are trying to force changes at those companies to make them more profitable. So you go all the way from there, all the way down to, somebody who has a pension fund that is invested in the markets in some form or fashion, right? All of those people are investors. It's about half of Americans fit into that class in some form or another. And so, companies are beholden to those investors, and they are beholden to providing, shareholder value is the term that they use. And that shareholder value needs to show up every quarter. And so, when you look at the short-term trade-offs that are happening as companies look towards that bottom line, I think there's an argument to be made that they are coming at the expense of the longer-term investments in workers. That shows up, in training and, of course, in wages, as we've been talking about. And so, like, that I think is the underlying idea that that's at play here.
And is it a different, has it changed since, say, I don't know, the 50s and 60s? Was there a different mindset, a different strategy with regard to how companies and industries handled their employees?
Yeah, if you look at the relationship between employee and employer, it certainly has changed a lot in those, say, 50, 60, 70 years that you're talking about, right? It used to be, saying anything here that's breaking any news, it used to be a person might have the same employer for their entire career, and that's just not the case anymore. The American workforce is much more mobile, and I think too, it's important to remember, when a company thought of its workforce that way, the pension fund that they created, a defined benefit pension that they created for their workers, that was the standard, and that really doesn't happen anymore. It's extremely rare for someone to go into a new position now at a company and receive one of these defined benefit pensions. It's a lot more likely that they're going to have some money tied up in a 401k, which you know a company will match as a form of compensation. But you're not seeing the same sort of employment for life mentality, maybe, that used to exist.
And kind of the scary notion that goes along with that is that people responding to the survey have said that if I lost my job, I'm worried about whether I could get another job within 6 months.
Exactly. That was one of the things that we were using to try and determine, you know, how anxious are you? We asked, do you worry about losing your job in the next 12 months? And if you did, how likely would it be that you could find one in the next six? And you see that where it breaks down by age. You know, younger workers tend to think, yeah, I could find a job in pretty short order. Older workers don't feel that way. And you also see it break down on the household income line, where the more you make, the more confident you are that you'll be able to find something. It's just not the case when you work down the income ladder.
Does a lot of this have to do, a lot of the stagnation of wages and workers feeling like they're financially stuck, does it have to do with the fact that the landscape, the workscape, is changing so much, so rapidly, as opposed to years past?
Yeah, I think a company can't just stand by. A company needs to grow. And, you know, in that's the only way that it's going to be successful, you know, just in any way, and also in the capital markets, and if it is a publicly traded company. And so that underlies this idea that, you know, the workers also have to grow and have to develop new skills and have to do all of these new things, where this was a point that was made in the piece that we used to start off the hour, that it used to be everybody got a 3% raise and that was that. And now that's not the way that companies do it. They have a pool of money that they set aside for raises when they do raises, and it's divvied up by performance and by other factors as well. And so there are these, as we've been talking about, these fundamental underlying changes and shifts in the way that work is done in America and the way that companies do that work in America.
And are people just being expected to be able to bring more and varied skills to the table than they once were?
Yeah, and the way that you get there, right, is with job training, and the way that you get there is with education. We haven't talked about this yet in the survey, but we asked folks who had taken out debt for their student education, student loans. We asked them if they thought that the debt was worth it, and many, almost 2 in 5, almost 40% said that the debt was not worth it. And so that really speaks to that idea: is when you go down this road, you need to be thinking about what are you going to get for that education, and how is it going to pay off later.
Where does this whole economic anxiety index go from here?
Well, I think I mentioned it. We're going to do the poll a few more times between now and the election. And then we'll be able to sort of update the index based on the findings of the poll, so we can track the economic anxiety and the economic mood as we go into the election. And I think that, you know, that mood will go a long way towards informing us and our listeners about how the election is shaping up.
Dave Shaw is Washington Bureau Chief for Marketplace, the NPR program. You can hear weeknights here on 90.5 WESA at 6:30. Dave, it's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Coming up, we'll talk with veteran reporter and BBC correspondent James Kumarasamy. You're listening to a special NPR Guests edition of Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.